Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 28th of June, 2020. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm Web Guy here at NBC. This week we had a guest speaker, Andy Worthington, who's the head of church relations at Open Doors, and he spoke to us about the persecuted church. We had some technical problems with this, as Paul was explaining at the start. Things were done a bit differently, and there are a few odd pops and whistles, I'm afraid, but I hope that won't spoil your enjoyment. So let's go and join Paul as he's introducing the service.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Minehead Baptist Church. Welcome if you've been with us every week. Welcome if this is your first week with us. Wherever you are, however you come to us this morning, however many times you've been viewing these services, we just want to let you know you're part of our church family and you are very welcome. Just to give you a few notices, the notices are as per the sheet, which has been sent out this week, and you should have also received a song sheet for those songs that we're going to sing. The words will be on the screen too. If you'd like to receive either of the notices or the song sheet or both, can you just let us know if you don't already get them electronically? You can do so by sending an email to office@minehead-baptist.com. The other thing just to say is that it's kind of the substitutes, me, Mark, Luke, and Brian, and Chris this morning, in the nicest sense, they're trying to make this technology work. We don't have Richard with us today, in other words. If, therefore, we get a glitch, please just let us know. We'll do our best, but we're also going to ask you to bear with us as we gather together. I think the Lord would say, I don't demand perfection, but I do demand your worship. And so we come together this morning to worship him. I want to welcome this morning, by way of video link later in our service, Andy Worthington, who's head of church relations at Open Doors. This morning we're going to think of and look at the persecuted church around the world. And Andy will be sharing with us later both scripture and some of the things that are currently happening. After our opening worship, we'll be watching a video. It lasts about 3 minutes and it's going to show you what's currently happening in the top five countries that Open Doors list as those that persecute Christians the most. If you're listening to the CD, please excuse any gaps in dialect, but be assured that what you hear by way of explanation on the video will in itself give you a good understanding of what is currently happening in those countries. You won't be missing out, in other words, but you may just have to understand there are some gaps in the dialect and you just hear the background music at the time. If anyone listening to this service wants any more information, etc., on Open Doors, wants to be part of the prayer list, wants to know what they can do to help their persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ at this time, please feel free to contact either me or the office. And we will put you in contact with Andy, or actually arrange for stuff to be sent to the church and sent out to you, or arrange for things to be sent directly to you. Lest we forget, friends, some of our brothers and sisters around the world are suffering at the moment. And as we're opening the scriptures, we're going to use the scripture that's on Open Doors, July to August prayer diary. It's a scripture that comes from Psalm 34. We've used the Psalms a lot during this time of lockdown. And Psalm 34, verse 18, to the end of the Psalm says this: But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. This morning, no matter where we are around the world, no matter whether we're persecuted or not, free or not to come and worship the Lord, it is surely our Lord in whom we put our hope and our unfailing love. We're going to sing a song, God of Grace. Roy and Jenny are going to lead it. But the last verse goes this, like this: And your grace covers me in righteousness, and your mercy covers me in love. Your life adorns and beautifies. I stand complete in you. Our opening prayer for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who suffer this morning are that they would stand complete in the Lord, clothed in his righteousness, covered in his love, adored, adorned and beautified in him. Let's praise and worship together. God of grace, I turn my face.
What would you do if your faith put you in danger? If it meant facing insults and abuse, not getting a job or education, being assaulted, imprisoned, even killed? Hundreds of millions of Christians live in countries where choosing to follow Jesus means danger and persecution. And these are the five countries where their faith costs the most. Number 5, Pakistan. Where Christians can be falsely accused of blasphemy. They are denied education and work opportunities. Churches are bombed. Christians are jailed on false charges. But Pakistani Christians are determined to meet to worship. Number 4, Libya. Where there are only some 150 Libyan Christians. Churches for Libyans are forbidden. Christian migrants are targeted, executed by militants or sold into slavery. But Libyans are coming to Christ through TV, radio and web. Number 3, Somalia, where Christians can be killed on the spot. All citizens are assumed to be Muslims. Militant groups want to eradicate all Christians. Owning a Bible can mean instant execution. But Christians meet in secret and many Muslims seek Christ. Number 2, Afghanistan, where Christians have to hide, even after death. Islamic extremism is everywhere. Christians are buried as Muslims because their relatives would be punished. But people still meet Christ in dreams. Number 1, North Korea. Where leaders are worshipped like gods. There is no freedom. People live under constant surveillance. 50 to 70,000 Christians are imprisoned. But in prisons and safe houses, North Koreans are coming to Christ. Open Doors exists to strengthen and support persecuted Christians wherever they are and for as long as they need it. Through the gifts and prayers of Open Doors supporters, our global underground networks are able to reach millions of Christians with food and medicine, spiritual care, smuggled Bibles and Christian books, training and legal advice. Homes are rebuilt, lives are rescued, churches restored. For over 60 years, Open Doors has stood with Christians whose faith puts them in danger, who dare to share Jesus, no matter the cost. Because as Christians, we are family, one body, one church. And when your family is in danger, there's only really one question to ask. What will you do?
Everybody, shall we pray as we continue this morning's service? Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the technology that we do have and that video that we have just been shown and the challenges that come with it. Lord, I just pray that we come in your presence, that we come expecting to meet you today. But Lord, I also pray that as we are being challenged and we are encouraged, or we, as we go through looking at your word today, Lord, I just pray that we will go from here knowing your hope, and we that know that you too can encourage us in whatever time we may be in at this moment in time. And Lord, I pray that as we continue through this week, as more and more of this lockdown is eased for us, Lord, I just pray that we will be able to know you. Lord, thank you for all that you have done and all that you continue to do in our lives at this time. And we pray this in your precious name. Amen. I'll hand over to Mark.
Good morning, everybody. How are we today? Good. I got a thumbs up from Chris right in the corner there. It's quite nice to have a couple more people around. How are you doing? When we're looking at open doors, and Paul said this is what the theme's going to be for the Sunday, trying to think of a children's talk was pretty difficult. So I started to think about what stories do we know, and one story popped into my head, and it was the story of, can you guess? No, not that one. It's the Ugly Duckling. That was the story that popped into my head. Now, the Ugly Duckling is a story all about a mum duck sitting on her eggs on the pond or next to the pond, waiting for her babies to hatch. And then time after time, she heard a crack. She looked down and there was a little duckling. And then she'd sit back on and there'd be quack and there'd be another duckling. And that just kept going on until there was one egg still to hatch. And then finally, she heard a crack. And she looked down and there was the last duckling. Well, actually, this duckling just looked a little bit different from the others. There was something not quite the same about this one as the other ones. But it hatched just like the rest, and her baby, it was her baby, so she took care of it. She looked after it, and she took it to the pond with the others. Now, when all the other ducklings saw the ugly duckling, they all laughed at him. They all made fun of him. They all called him names. And the little duckling was really, really sad. So sad that he left the pond. But everyone he treated as he was leaving treated him just the same. They all laughed at him. All the farm animals just laughed at him and called him names. But the ugly duckling, why do we say ugly duckling? The ugly duckling kept walking and finally came to another pond. And guess what? In that pond, there were some beautiful swans. They were gorgeous, but the ugly duckling wished he could be that beautiful, really wished he could look like them. But now it was winter and it was really cold and he was really lonely. It got so cold, actually, that the duckling's feet got stuck in the ice. But luckily, there was an old farmer that came by, and the old farmer released the duckling from the ice, and the duckling was able to go away and hide somewhere. And he found a place to hide over winter. When spring came, the ugly duckling went back to the pond. And there on the pond again were those beautiful swans. And he just looked and went, oh, I wish I was like that. I really wish I was the same. And he looked in the water. And guess what he saw? He was a beautiful, beautiful swan, just like the others. Now, you and I could be seen as ugly ducklings. Sometimes, if we believe in Jesus, people take the mickey out of us. Sometimes they laugh at us. Sometimes they might not want to play with us. But we're lucky because we're beautiful. God thinks we're beautiful. God surrounds us and covers us with his love. We've got eternal life to look forward to. So we're not ugly. But that's not the point of the story I want to pick up on this morning. Because I want to pick up on all the people who were making fun of the poor ugly duckling. How do you think the duckling might have felt? Do we make fun of people? Do we let people play in our groups? And then one farmer came along and helped that little duckling out and enabled that duckling to grow into a beautiful swan. I want you to be like that duckling. Today we're going to hear about the persecuted church. Today we're going to find out what it's like to be laughed at, hurt, bruised, maybe even shot, because they believe in Jesus. I want you to show people Jesus in the actions that you do. I want you to pick up those ugly ducklings and nurture them, care for them, play with them, and make them feel beautiful. It's not difficult, really, but it makes such a difference. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes we look in the mirror and we think we're ugly. Sometimes we look at ourselves from the inside and we think we're ugly. But Lord, you love us and you think we are beautiful. Give us the opportunity, Lord, to develop, to spread our wings and to turn into beautiful swans. Help us, Lord, to be what you want us to be. And help us to have the confidence to see the beauty that you've made. Amen. Okay, we've got another song. Roy and Jenny are going to sing, "O Lord My God, When I in Awesome Wonder." Sorry, it's not Roy and Jenny. It's Sue. I will get this link right one week, I promise. Hey, one week it will be good. Have a really good week, everyone. Speak to you soon. Bye.
As we continue our look at this persecuted church, it's my amazing pleasure to welcome to Minehead Baptist Church by way of video link Andy Worthington. Andy's going to bring to us the message for the day and give us an update on some of those issues that are affecting our brothers and sisters in Christ. So good morning and welcome, Andy.
Hi, I'm Andy from Open Doors. It's great to be with you this morning at Minehead Baptist Church. Thank you so much, Paul, for your invitation. And I also want to say thank you to you all as a church for your incredible generosity. Thank you for your ongoing prayer and support for the persecuted church around the world. When we go and visit them, they always say to us, please, will you thank the churches and the individuals who stood with us in prayer and support? They often say that it's so good to know that we're not alone, that there are people who've remembered us and that we're not forgotten. Each year at Open Doors, we produce the World Watch List, which goes through the top 50 countries in the world where it's most dangerous to live as a follower of Jesus. North Korea has been number one on that list now for the last 18 years. We launch that list each in Parliament, and this year we had over 100 MPs join us for that launch, which was fantastic. We also produce a little booklet which takes you through those top 50 countries, just telling you a little bit about each country, the source of persecution, and then three simple prayer points to help you pray for and stand with the persecuted church around the world. If you'd like to receive a free copy of that little booklet, then I'll really be glad to send you one. You can go online to our website and order it there, or you can let me know how many copies you'd like, and I'll be very glad to send you as many as you need. We've also been hearing recently from our partners on the ground that for many of them, not only are they facing persecution, but also COVID-19, which has added just another level of complexity. In some of these countries, the Christians have been blamed for this virus, making it even harder for them. We've also heard that in one country, nearly 70% of the Christians had lost their jobs. making it really difficult for them to provide for their family. And as a result of this, we've launched the Coronavirus Crisis Appeal to ask the church to prayerfully consider how they can support and pray for our brothers and sisters at the moment. If you'd like to know more, you can click onto this QR code on the screen using your camera on your phone. It'll take you straight there. And it will just tell you some more information about it and let you know how you can support that appeal. Just like to share a few verses of scripture from you. First one is from Colossians. This is Paul writing to the church in Colossae. Paul, if you remember, used to be a persecutor of the church until that encounter on the road to Damascus. And now he's become a follower of Jesus. And not only that, he's being persecuted. In fact, he's in prison as he writes this letter to the church in Colossae. And he says this in Colossians 4 verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Now, Paul knew that we were all created to be devoted to something. And Paul was encouraging the church in Colossae to be devoted to Jesus in prayer. He said, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful. What does watchful mean? I think Paul was encouraging them to look at what was happening, look at what was going on in the world around them and in people's lives. But not only just see it from their perspective, but in the place of prayer, understand too what God was doing in the midst of all of that. There's another verse or a letter that Paul writes to the church in Corinth where he says, what we see with our eyes is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And I believe Paul was encouraging the church in Colossae to not see things from their own perspective, but to be watchful in the sense of seeing things from God's perspective in that place of prayer. So he says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Now, I don't know about you, but I can moan and complain when things don't quite go the way I want them to. You ask my wife or my kids, they'll tell you that. But what I've learned is that it's really hard to be thankful and complain at the same time. And so I've decided to learn to be more thankful. When Hae-woo was here from North Korea, she told us some of her story about being in prison in North Korea in a labor camp for her faith in Jesus. She miraculously escaped and she was sharing a story in festivals and churches around the UK. But before she left, one of my colleagues said to her, is there anything you sense God is saying to the church in the UK? And she said this. She said, learn to cultivate a spirit of thankfulness. Learn to cultivate a spirit of thankfulness. And I believe that's a word for me and probably a word for all of us here in the UK. To be more thankful and to learn to be thankful in the place of prayer. So Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And then he says, and pray for us too. Now, if I was Paul writing to the church in Colossae from prison, I think my letter would be a little bit different to Paul's. If you could imagine, Paul was probably chained to a wall. He was sat on a concrete floor. There probably wouldn't have been a toilet there. He was probably with other prisoners. I expect there were rats running around. The food, if he got any, was probably awful. And if I was writing a letter to the church as Paul, I think I would say, it's terrible in here. Will you pray that God gets me out of here? But Paul doesn't write that. He says, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains. Paul doesn't complain once. He says, pray that God may open a door for the message of the gospel. Paul finds himself in prison and he's there looking for the opportunity to tell people the good news about Jesus. And I want to encourage you, wherever you are right now, whatever you're doing, look for the opportunity, look for the open door where you can proclaim the message, the good news of Jesus. Paul also writes to the church in Philippi. I know that Paul, your Paul, was preaching on Philippians. I think it was chapter 3 last week. And I just want to look at a few verses in Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse 12. This is Paul again writing to the church in Philippi. And he says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become more confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Don't you think that's remarkable? Paul's put in prison for his faith in Jesus. And the Christians, the believers in the church, are daring all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Just wondered if you could imagine for a moment. Imagine Paul, your Paul, being put into prison for being the leader of Minor Baptist Church. And the police come to you and say, hey, if you continue to follow Jesus, if you continue to share your faith, then you'll be put in prison too. Would that make you more confident in sharing the gospel or less confident? It's an interesting question, isn't it? But here, the Christians became more confident. And that's the same for many of our brothers and sisters around the world today who live in areas where they face high levels of persecution. They've become more confident in the way they share their faith. And I'd just love to share a couple of stories with you of a few Christians I've met on some trips I've been to recently. The first one is in North Africa. In this particular country in North Africa, there are only 30 churches left. They told us the churches are being closed all the time. And he said, in this country, you have to carry an identity card. And on this identity card, it says religion. And the only thing that that can say is Islam. He said, if you choose to follow another religion, then basically you lose your rights to everything. So you can't buy a house. You can't have a bank account. You can't get a job. Your children can't go to school. Just becomes really hard to live and to survive. And so we have the privilege of being able to send resources to the church there that live in communities, many of them. And they're able to keep cattle and to grow crops, to be able to provide for themselves. But he told me this. He said that they have baptisms in his church every month. And he said, we're disappointed if there are less than 100 people being baptized every month. I thought, wow, that's incredible. This is in a country where they're becoming nobodies. Well, they're not really nobodies, but in their country's eyes, they are. And they're deciding to follow Jesus because they can see that Jesus is worth following. He said to me that he hears when one person is in his country decides to become a follower of Jesus. And he makes it his mission to go and visit them because he said the first 2 weeks for a new believer is the most dangerous time. And so sometimes he has to travel, he said, 3,000 kilometers across the Sahara Desert to go and visit these people. And at the time he told me this, we were driving around in his car, which I tell you would never pass an MOT in our country. It had cracks in the window. We had to stop several times to fill up the radiator because it had a water leak. And I said, do you hire a car to go across the Sahara Desert? Thinking that he might hire a four-wheel drive car or something. He said, no, I take this car. I thought, wow. He said that, you know, there's no, much of the desert, there's no navigation system that they can follow. There's no phone signal. So they can't call down the breakdown when the car breaks down and he gets stuck. He has to fix it himself. So, I mean, these are really dangerous journeys. He said that sometimes in the Sahara Desert, he said these sandstorms can erupt. And he said, you never quite know when they're happening. And he has to get out of the car a lot to fill the car up with water, to fill the car up with fuel, remembering it's a 3,000 kilometer journey, and also to relieve himself. But he says, when these sandstorms erupt, he said, within these sandstorms, there's normally over 100 black scorpions. And he said, if one of those scorpions was to sting you, he said, after about 60 seconds, he'd be unconscious. And then after about an hour or so, he'd be dead. And I said, so hang on a minute. You're telling me that you're willing to risk your life to go and to go and encourage one person who you've just heard has become a follower of Jesus. He said, yes, I am. Remembering he's leaving his church behind, which are now thousands of people with 100 more and more than 100 becoming followers of Jesus each month. He's leaving them to go for the one. And it just reminded me of Jesus and the story of the Good Shepherd leaving the 99 to go for the one. And I want to encourage you in your witness, in mine head, go for the one. Go for the one that God puts on your heart and the opportunities that he gives to you to share the gospel. I wanted to share one further story with you. And this is a man called Bahir from Turkmenistan. In Turkmenistan, it used to be part of the former Soviet Union. And he said that he was Christian number 7, actually, in Turkmenistan. But an evangelist came to his village. And he said that he told the gospel, and it's illegal to share the gospel, so he's doing it secretly in people's houses. And Bahir followed him around. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, he got down on his knees and gave his life to Jesus. He said that the change in him was so dramatic, he knew that he had to share his faith and tell his friends and family, so he did. And many of them became followers of Jesus, and he planted several churches. But his best friend said to him, Bahir, you need to stop telling people about Jesus or I'll report you to the police. And he said to his friend, how can I stop telling people about Jesus? He's done so much for me. So his friend reported him. He ended up in prison where he was beaten and tortured every day for his faith. Every day they said to him, deny your faith in Jesus and we'll stop. But he refused. They put him in the electric chair 5 times. They put nails in parts of his body. He said that one day this officer beat him so badly he thought he was going to die. He said he put his foot inside of his mouth and was pushing his head against the concrete floor. And he said to him, Bahir, this mouth will never speak the name of Jesus again. And then he took his foot out and Bahir looked up at him and said, you can stop me talking about Jesus, but you'll never change what Jesus has done in my heart. With that, a couple of weeks later, they released him from prison. I think they gave up on him. He ended up seeking refuge in another country and then got a job with Sat7, where he was able to broadcast every day about the good news of Jesus. He said that his best friend, who reported him to the police, called him up one day. I don't know how he got hold of his phone number, but he did. And he said, Bahir, I need to speak to you. And Bahir said, it's Christmas coming up. Why don't you come and spend Christmas with me and my family? Talk about forgiveness. So he spent Christmas with Bahir's family. And he said to Bahir, he said, my life has fallen apart. He said, I became really ill and I was unable to work. So I lost my job. He said, I became an alcoholic. My wife and family left me. He said, my life has fallen apart. He said, the difference between you and me is that when you needed your God, he was there for you. But when I needed my God, he wasn't there. Will you lead me to your God? And Bahir had the privilege of leading his friend to faith in Jesus. I said to Bahir, that's an incredible story. I said, would you mind if I shared your story with churches in the UK? And he said, yeah, of course you can. But he said, please just make me this promise. And I said, okay, what's the promise? He said, every time you tell my story, will you tell them this? He said, if I had to go through all that suffering again, I would. And then he said, because Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worth it. And that's what I want to leave you with today, friends. Jesus is worth following. Don't ever give up following Jesus. He's worth giving everything for. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, I want to thank you for our brothers and sisters around the world, like Bahir, who teach us what it really means to take up our cross and follow you. Jesus, it challenges us in the West here when we hear those kind of stories and we see how, in many ways, how easy it is for us and the freedoms that we have. God, help us to never take those for granted. Thank you for the privilege we have of being able to have the freedom to meet together, even though maybe at the moment during this period of lockdown, we've not been able to do that. But thank you for the freedoms that we do have. And Lord Jesus, that we want to pray for our brothers and sisters. We pray for those in prison right now who, like Bahir, are probably facing difficult situations on a daily basis. Lord, would you be with them? Thank you that you're there, that you're drawing close to them. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll give them strength for each moment of every day. Lord, help them to be aware that they have a family around the world who are praying for them. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for Minehead Baptist Church. Thank you for their witness in Minehead. And thank you for all that you're doing through them as a church there in Minehead. And I pray today, Lord, that you'd encourage them. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to be a little bit more courageous in the way they live out their walk with you, their faith with you. That, Lord, they'll take the opportunities that come their way to share the gospel, to share the good news of who you are, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we ask all of this in your name, for your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. It's been great to be with you. Thank you so much for the opportunity of sharing with you this morning. God bless you.
If you did have a problem with the sound, we generally find that if you go back and look at this once we've posted it in a few minutes, the sound quality improves, and we hope that that resolves the issue for you. Before we sing one more song, we're going to just pray, but specifically in the Open Doors prayer diary, there's prayers in the middle of that diary for India in this time of coronavirus. Many of you know India is kind of a country that God put on my heart a long time ago. Many of you may also be aware that Indian Christians have lost income and many are struggling to make ends meet because they're often neglected in the distribution of aid simply because of their faith. Open Doors ask us to pray. So we're going to use these prayers for India in this time of coronavirus, for our brothers and sisters around the world who are part of the persecuted church and who are suffering because of this virus. Lord, we want to praise you, first of all, that Open Doors partners have been able to reach thousands of families in India with food aid. Lord, we hear on the news how this virus seems to be running rampant in that country. Our prayer is that you would sustain our brothers and sisters in Christ, that Open Doors and other organizations would reach them with food, not just the thousands that have already been reached, but thousands more. We pray for God's protection and provision for persecuted believers around the world, whose suffering is compounded by restrictions imposed to prevent the spread of coronavirus. Father God, break through the barriers that exist between them and what we would call their normal life. Break through the barriers that stop them being able, Lord, to have that which sustains them, that which they need. But most of all, break through the barrier that means that this persecuted group will be able to speak your name. And we pray that you, God, will continue to provide opportunities for persecuted Christians to reach out to others in their communities with practical help and show them God's love. Praise be to you and through our brothers and sisters throughout the world. We pray that the whole world may say, praise be to the living Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So friends, if you want to know more about praying for Open Doors, more about the persecuted church, please let me or the office here know. We're going to end our service in one sense, in the same way we began, by reminding ourselves that we have an amazing God. And even in this time of coronavirus, with the stories we heard from Andy, the stories that are currently coming out from around the world, indeed what's happening in the UK, all brothers and sisters in Christ, including us, have 10,000 reasons to bless the Lord. And we're going to join Roy and Jenny now as they sing that amazing song. And so, friends, we end our service this morning. I want to leave you with one piece of scripture, and then I pray a blessing on your life and your week. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3 says, "Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." My prayer is that this week, as we speak out the Lord's name, we will not grow weary and lose heart. And then a prayer of blessing for you all, for us all. Lord God, thank you that the darkness will never overcome your light. Show me where you are at work and help me to carry your light and your hope to others. Good news proclaimed, Christ let loose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone, and don't forget to join us every day for prayers at 10, or see you back here next week for our 10 o'clock live stream service.
To leave a comment, please go to moanhead-baptist.com/sermons, and you can find out more about the work of Open Doors at opendoorsuk.org. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.